were in Sunday school this morning, right about the time, well, Kathy sometimes said that the Lord had been dealing with her about Emmanuel. And then the kids shared scriptures about Emmanuel. And they actually shared some of my scriptures for my sermon today. And that's okay, because scripture says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And I believe God establishes his word, you know, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses a lot of times. And let me pause for a word of prayer and then I'll get into this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come into your presence right now. I ask you to have your way. I ask you to just open our hearts and our ears to hear what your spirit would say to us today. Help us to not only be hearers of your word, but to go forth and be doers of your word, that we might begin to set creation free out there, because I know you desire to do that. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor for everything that you do here today, because you alone are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You know, years ago, the Lord gave me this little poem, and I'm going to share it, and it's called A Gift of Love. Oh, what a gift of the Father's love, that he should send his Son from above to redeem mankind from the wages of sin, that he might start anew and afresh again. As he lay in the manger so many years ago, little did man realize, or little did he know, of the suffering and pain of Calvary's tree and the total redemption that would set him free. For the Father was expressing his perfect love through the gift of his Son sent from above. And you know, that's the true gift of Christmas, was that he gave his Son and he gave him a ransom for our sins. Praise God. All right, the scriptures that I had today, you guys quoted them, and I'm going to quote them again. And then I'm going to talk about them a little bit. Matthew 1:18-25 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, when they quoted that there, they were quoting from Isaiah 7:14. So, you know, as the Lord led me into this, I looked back at Isaiah 7:14, and I'm going to share that with you, and I'm going to share some of the things I felt like the Lord told me about that scripture back there. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And it says God with us, okay? Now, I looked up in Strong's Emmanuel, and God, the part with us, was italicized. Okay? And there was another word that was put in parentheses in Strong's Concordance. And the other word was is. God is. And Scripture says, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if you do what they do a lot of times in Hebrew, They read from right to left. We read from left to right. So if you took is first, God is God. And it's talking about, I shall bring forth a son, and he is God. And, you know, in looking at that, I thought, well, that's beautiful. And, you know, it goes on and it says in verse 15, it says, butter, and there's the first word in that verse 15. And I looked at that word butter, and I thought, now, Lord, why are you drawing my attention to that word butter, you know? And as I studied into that a little bit, it equals the root word, which apparently means to join. And it means a wall of protection. Okay? And it means a wall of protection means walled. It says, and honey shall he eat. And you know, when I read that part, I was thinking, you know, I remember when Samson fought with the lion, and he killed the lion. And when he was getting ready to marry Delilah in the Old Testament, he gave him a riddle. And that riddle was something about sweet coming from the strong and strong coming, creating the sweet. Well, what it was bees had made a hive in that carcass of that lion, and they had produced honey. Well, he was tired after fighting with that lion, and he reached down and got some of that honey and ate it, you know. But, you know, so honey talks about the sweetness of something. It's strength. Honey is one of the most natural things that you can eat if you want a lift. It'll perk you right up, you know. It'll give you energy and give you strength. So anyway, it's the word butter equals the root word means to join, and Scripture says, he that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. And it also means a wall of protection. And what he was saying there, that this child was going to come forth, and he was going to have a wall of protection around him, and he was going to eat the honey of God. And, you know, and it says, and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse evil and choose good. Now, I'm going to read you a little bit more, and like I say, this isn't what it says in your Bible, but this is what the meaning of some of those words are if you study into the Hebrew. And here's what it says, For behold, the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good. And it says the land. Okay, the next word was the land. That thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. And I looked up that word land because I when the Lord draws my attention to words like that, I know that he's going to tell me something that isn't there on the surface. And the word for land appears 1,717 times in the Bible. Okay? And that's a different word than this word. And this word appears 125 times in the Bible. And this word is the word Adama, Adam. And the root word for it is Adam. And it means husband, it means man. So what he's saying here is, says, for the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good. And he's saying, and Adam, that thou abhorrest, in other words, that I abhor. He abhorred Adam. Why? Because Adam sinned. Because Adam wasn't obedient. As in Adam, all die. So in Christ shall all be made alive. And it says here, that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both of her kings. And I was looking at that, and I thought, now, okay, Lord, what are you talking about the kings? And I began to think, you know, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And you say, well, what's that got to do with kings? The person that you give yourself to that's your king. The person who rules over you, that's your king. And I want you to know that when you're double-minded, you have a tendency to be unstable in all your ways. He wants us to be single-minded. He wants us to have our eyes single, that our whole body might be full of light. And what it's saying here says, for the child shall know to refuse evil, and he shall choose good. And it says the land, but like I said, that word means Adam, that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken. In 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 49 says this, and so it is written that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last man, Adam, made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that which was not first was the spirit, was which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, so are they that are earthly. As is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. We have bore the image of the earthly, and we shall bear the image of the heavenly. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says this, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Praise God. Aren't you glad that when Jesus came, he didn't come with the nature of Adam? He came with the nature of God. And God had a wall around him, had a hedge around him. He wasn't going to choose between good and evil. He was just going to go God's way. And you know the word good is, if you take the word good and take one of the O's out of it, it's God. And one time they asked Jesus, they said, good master. And he said, why do you call me good? He said, there's none good but God. And I'm going to tell you, there is none good but God. There's none of us worth the dirt that we're made out of other than what God has put in us. Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of ourself. And I'm going to tell you what, when you find yourself getting a little puffed up and thinking you're awful special, you better just realize the only special thing about you is the amount of God in you. That's that treasure, you know. You know, but anyway, I got a couple other scriptures I'm going to read here for you here. And it says, going back to that scripture, original scripture of Matthew, and it says, and he took him a wife, and he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And really the Hebrew name would have been Yahshua, you know, because he said he'd come in his father's name. And, you know, Jesus means Savior in Greek. But if you took that back to the Hebrew meaning, it really would be Yahshua. It would be God the Savior. And it says, in next one is Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. And I believe you guys quoted this too. For unto us a child is born, unto us the son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And I love this. You say, well, what do we got to do to make this happen? The next verse says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Yes, a lot of times we think we got to do a lot of things. And I want you to know what we need to do is start sitting back and relaxing and being obedient to what God tells us to do on a daily basis. I shared that prophetic word with you last week that God gave me. And you know, I'm going to read it to you again. And I think I've got a few copies of it. If somebody wants a copy, they can have it. I shared it with another brother, and he said, Brother Oscar, I think that was just for you. And I don't think it was just for me. Anytime God gives you a word, if it's of no private interpretation. And if it's for me, it's for you too, because you're part of the body of Christ. And I'm going to read it to you again. It says, "For surely I would say unto you, even this day, I'm about to take the lid off and begin to reveal things that have been hidden in times past. There is nothing new under the sun, saith the Lord. But it shall be new unto you, because I have not revealed it to everyone. I shall begin to open the treasures of heaven and begin to show you mighty things that I desire to do in the earth. Things of this earth shall begin to fall apart in a lot of situations, that the order of God might come in. For surely I would say unto you this day that even my word does declare that I am in control of everything, says the Lord, and I am the Lord thy God, and what I declare shall come to pass. No man can stay my hand, and no man can hinder the things that I would bring forth. But I would say to you this day that if you will just wait upon me, you shall seek my face, I shall begin to show you things that many generations have desired to see. And even as I open them up and begin to show you the treasures in my word, I shall even bring about things that you've never seen before and that the wisdom of man cannot even begin to comprehend. For it shall seem like foolishness to man, but it shall be the wisdom of God. And my wisdom is wiser than the wisdom of men. Know this, that I shall declare and I shall bring forth. And I shall cause it to happen even as I say, saith the Lord. It does not depend upon you, but it depends upon me. And all you need to do is just flow with me and be obedient to the things that I tell you to do when I tell you to do them. And surely they'll become a power and an anointing such as not been in the earth for many generations. For I am the Lord, and when I speak, it comes to pass. And when I open a door, it is open. And when I close a door, no man can open it. But I say unto you, I am about to open the door of treasures of my word and the treasures of even my life. And you shall begin to see them, and you shall begin to inhabit them if you will but step through the door. For I am the door. Step through the door into me. And the more you step into me, the more that creation can begin to be set free. I will do this, says the Lord, not you, but me, but I shall move through you, saith the Lord." Amen. Praise God. Now, that word, I think, is for all of the body of Christ. It's not just for me, it's for all of you all, too. And I want you to know, I think God's about to do some mighty wonderful things. And what it's going to take on your part is to be obedient and move when he has you move. And sometimes you might find he'll have you do something that you think, "Oh my goodness, can I do that?" Well, if the Lord tells you to do it, you can do it. The one thing that I learned a long time ago is when God gives you something or God tells you something, you are not responsible for the outcome. You are only responsible to do what he tells you to do when he tells you to do it. Okay? And don't step back and say, "Well, bless God, maybe I should wait 2 months or 6 months or something." If God's telling you to do something, do it. And do it when he's telling you to do it. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. That's all I had to share with you today. And we're going to have a communion service, so if the fellows would pass out the elements there. Anybody that wants to take communion, you can take it. I'm going to share a scripture with you about communion. Luke 22:14-20 says this, "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. But I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until the fulfillment of the king in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And you know, I like what a brother came here years ago one time and he spoke about communion. And he talked about this word remembrance. Remember. Put things back where they belong. That's what it really amounts out to when you remember something. You know, likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Praise God. Once they pass all that out, we'll say a little prayer, and we'll believe that God will bless this communion as we take it, and then you guys can be excused and go home. You want to sing or you want to do something else, Mark? Oh, yeah. We have some cookies and refreshment in the back, and Joey and Mark set that up, and we just thank them for that. And you guys can go back there and fellowship a little bit with each other and love on each other a little and praise the Lord. Praise God. Did you pass out all of the? Let me have one of those, please. Thank you. Thank you. You know, Jesus was talking to the masses at one time, and he told them that they said, our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. And he said, that's not really the bread of God. He said, I'm the bread of God. It's basically what he said. I'm just paraphrasing this. He said, I'm the bread of God. And you know, because he said that, he told them, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. And what was he really telling them? Except you partake of me. You know, in our day and age, we know you are what you eat. If you eat bad fattening food, guess what? You get bad and fat. You eat healthy food, you get skinny and healthy. Sometimes I don't eat all the best of foods, but thank God that you are what you eat. And you know, in typology, when we take these elements here today, we're going to believe that we're remembering to do this. And he says, as often as you come together, do this. We don't do communion every day or every week, but we do communion a couple times a year, because the true communion is you spending time with him and partaking of him. That's the true communion. But Father, if you all stand, we'll go ahead and we'll take care of this. Let's take the bread here, and Father, we thank you that you said you are the true bread of life, and we take this bread here as a type of absorbing you, Father, into our lives in greater and greater depths. In Jesus' name, amen. And he passed around the cup and he told him, take this. He said, this is my blood, which is shed for you. And in typology, when we drink this, this is the blood of Christ. You know, years ago, one time, we had a minister come through and he said that he had met this man who was a scientist. His name was Dr. Carter. And this Dr. Carter was good friends with Einstein. And they said that, and you know, Einstein was one of the smartest men ever in our time. And he said Dr. Carter said him and Einstein had studied a lot of things trying to figure out where the life in man was. And this minister told him, he says, well, I can tell you where it is. And he says, you can? He says, yeah, I can tell you. He says, well, I want to know. And he quoted him a scripture. He said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I want you to know that's why Jesus had to pour out his blood. It was his life force. And I want you to know that you've been baptized into him, and that when your blood flows through your body now, that's him flowing through your body, because he is your very life. And that's why we take, in typology, the wine or the grape juice or whatever, whatever it happens to be. But anyway, I just want you to know that we're partaking of him, and you can have communion with him every day, every day. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to bless this assembly of people here today, your body, Father. And I ask you to help us to be remembered into the position that you want us to be, that we might flow with you, that we might be just a light to the world out there, and someone who just ministers to people when you tell us to minister. And Father, I thank you for what you're going to do. I ask you to bless your people. I ask you to bless our fellowship as we go in the back. And we give you all praise, all glory, and all honor, because you alone are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful Christmas.